Well, I think you're right to say that the church does have a lot to offer. And in the article that I wrote, I mentioned the Pope's letter, The Church in Europe. And in that, he has a very wide-ranging analysis of Europe, and particularly the kind of values which he believes that the Catholic Church and Christianity can bring to the whole debate about Europe. And then Catholic social teaching has a very well-developed theory of political action, which he thinks is very valuable for Europe. And I think he's right. I think the teaching is really valuable. The question I raised then was, given that it's coming from the Catholic Church, will people listen to it? And the Pope himself is conscious of that. He does say in that letter about Europe that the Church has its own credibility problems. The ones I mention are a bit different from his. He's talking about conversion, so the need to be holy. And I think he's right there. I mean, I think if people sense that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, there's something that's transparent about that and very convincing, and it's good. But I also raise the whole areas of sexuality and power as areas where the Church might have difficulties in being credible.
That is true, and I mean, I suppose for a large percentage of a generation today, including people who would be now in positions in Europe where they can bring about change, one of the areas, if you think of sexuality, is Humanae Vitae and that teaching on contraception. And for many people of that age group, they probably don't even know about it.
Yes, and there's a funny thing there that I suppose people have a way of putting things to one side and getting on with their life. And I suppose many people do that. And the people you're talking about, leaders in Europe who might have a Christian or a Catholic background, they carry on and they are inspired by their Christian faith, by their Catholic faith. But I think it's not good for an organization to have a body of teaching which is so widely ignored and put to one side. I mean, from the organization's point of view, from the church's point of view, it does raise questions when people get into trouble then in other areas as to how reliable the church is as a teaching body. So if, for good reasons or bad reasons, the church is perceived as lacking wisdom in such an important area in life. We're talking about relationships and love, and that's the main thing that really is of significance to people in the end. There are many other things that are important, but in the end they feed off that. And if the church is perceived to be lacking in wisdom, and if as part of the good, ordinary Christian faithful, and then the thinkers in the church, there are big questions about this, if they can't accept it. I think that's, if you like, it's a running sore in the church, which wounds the church. And I related then to the issue of power, because I think it's not healthy that that can't be addressed in a more open kind of way. I think in the end, debate can be, in the short term, divisive, but it's been clear over the history of the church that issues in the end are resolved through talking and through listening, and often teaching changes as a result of that in a way that it's clear that's where the Holy Spirit is leading us. And I'd like to see that happening more widely and more openly within the church than happens at the moment.
Well, when you talk about talking and listening, does the listening happening? And if it does, where does it go where change may be implemented?
I think a certain amount of listening does go on. I mean, that's why I say there are pointers to hope. I mentioned that in the article. I think for example, I think the voice of the laity in general is being more heard than it was before. I think the Vatican itself, somebody did a survey recently and they came up with, was it 15% of women now working in the curial offices in the Vatican. There have been attempts to bring in experts who are lay people, men and women, to advise the Vatican. But I think it needs to be a bit wider than that. The Cardinal Martini, who's now retired, several years ago called for a third Vatican Council, if you like, where these things could be aired more openly. A number of people have talked about that within the Irish Church, that maybe we need something to come together to give us hope and to give scope to people to share their ordinary experience. And I do think there's a lack of structured consultation within the church. There have been beginnings of parish councils, for example, which I think are important beginnings, But it needs to go higher than that as well. And I think that's one of the steps that needs to be taken to ensure that this debate is real, that people have confidence in it, and that it will lead to change.
You used the phrase the elephant in the room. Will it go away?
I'd be hopeful it will. I mean, it's very hard to be a prophet in that sense and to foresee when it might happen. But I suppose I'm old enough now to have seen big changes in the church over my lifetime. The present pope, a lot of people were very fearful of what would happen when he became pope. I think he's written a beautiful letter on love and sexuality, and it just shows, I think, that that can be done and people can listen to it with great respect. A lot of the secular press, particularly in Britain, were very receptive to it. He has put himself in a position where he is listening to somebody like Hans Küng. They had a discussion in Rome, and that was a great surprise to many people, not least Hans Küng, I think, and he declared himself happy with it afterwards. So I think the Holy Spirit can surprise us, and people can surprise us, and I'd still be very hopeful that change can and will occur.